Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time now for the GX on Agriculture podcast.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt says farmers face several challenges this year, including rising input costs and the weather. Merritt spoke this morning at the SARM annual convention in Saskatoon. We'll talk about what he discussed at that meeting. We'll have the weekly overview of the wheat market, which has been provided by Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture in Winnipeg. And the vice president of the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan attended the Canadian Federation of Agriculture Convention in Ottawa last week. Bill Probilski of Willowbrook was there, and he said it was very interesting. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers bio-meal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's mainly overcast here in the Yorkton area today, and our temperatures seem to be moderating a bit.
Yeah, we've got the wind from the south to southeast. It's a pretty gusty wind, but it's a warm wind, more importantly. The speed, yeah, it's up there. But the important part is that the air it's bringing in is much warmer, and temperatures, while they've been a bit sluggish to warm, we do still anticipate getting close to zero. I think many of us will get above. A little cloudiness is actually working against us. Now, it doesn't need the sun to get the warming. We're still right in that, later March. Or mid-March, I should say. So we're getting toward that sun angle where it starts to be more of an impact, but still low enough. Still, we're in that winter mode where, yeah, the sun helps, obviously, when it's out. But when the air mass, when it changes that strong, the air mass transition really takes over. And that's why we're, even without the sun, we should look up to around zero this afternoon. It'll help. Those extra couple degrees would come from a bit of sun. Today, partly to mostly cloudy. We're down to minus 13. And for tomorrow, still pretty cloudy. Well, the cloudiness is not impacting us at all. There's a chance a flurry or two flies through the air late today into the early evening, and then again late tonight, early tomorrow. But the chance any given time, 20%, the chance of any of those flurries amounting to anything, pretty close to zero. Stay mostly cloudy Wednesday night. We drop off to minus 17, and we're back down to minus 8 on Thursday. There's a chance for a few flurries. This time, a little better chance. This time, maybe even a coating from the flurries. Minus 8 is the high on Thursday, though just a chance of a coating still. It does not look like there's anything significant as far as significant storms go in our near future. We've just got these gray skies as a few weak systems move on through. Heading toward the weekend, we are heading back into a transition, and it's a transition up. The middle part of the week, the end of the week, features an area of high pressure sitting over the central part of the country. We're on the southern end of it, so we're in the cool air mass. It's not a cold air mass, it's a cool air mass. As the week goes on, a bit of a trough digs down across Ontario. In response to that, a little more of a ridge starts to build up at least into the western U.S. by Friday. Over the course of Friday night and Saturday, it'll run a better chance of working its way into western Canada. And as that happens, everything continues moving eastward, and that should build across, giving us a better chance of getting back up to around the freezing mark by Sunday. But at least we're still trending toward up, toward average as we turn up. Minus 9 on Friday with the cloud and sunshine mixed. Saturday, a bright sunny sky, minus 5, is again pretty close to zero on Sunday.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at minus 6 degrees, Swan River and Brandon minus 5, Dauphin minus 3, Shoal Lake Russell and Roblin minus 7. Regina is at minus 1, Saskatoon minus 6, Hudson Bay minus 3, Broadview Mooseman minus 2, Indian Head minus 4, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington plus 1. The Yorkton Melville region has a cloudy sky, a south-southeast wind at 28, gusting to 41 kilometers an hour. 76% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 7 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 15 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. But first, yesterday's data. We reached a high of minus 6 degrees, a low of minus 20 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is minus 2 degrees. The normal low is minus 13 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 7:07 this morning, and it will set at 6:51 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Pinawa at 0. The cold spot was Carberry at minus 29. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Maple Creek at plus 6 degrees. The cold spot was Stony Rapids at minus 31 degrees. And welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt says farmers face several challenges this year, including rising input costs and the weather. Merritt spoke today at the SARM Annual Convention in Saskatoon.
My opening comments will be, the year we've had, and the challenges going forward. There's still some areas of the province that are, considered to be dry, and we're obviously watching that. And some of the announcements we made earlier for the pasture folks and the livestock folks as well. But we'll talk about, obviously, there's probably going to be a lot of questions. There's a new crop insurance program. There's a new federal provincial program starting in April 1. There's probably going to be some questions around where that's at and things like that. So really my role here is to listen to the delegates. Obviously, they're going to have lots of questions on probably just about everything. And I'll have my whole team here. And if we can't answer the questions, we'll make sure we get them to them. But I'm really looking forward to the discussion. It's been a while, and it's nice to be back, obviously, at my old alma mater of this organization and meeting a lot of old friends again.
He looks at some of the key challenges for farmers in 2023.
Concerned about, production costs and what's that doing. We are seeing fertilizer come down. I'm obviously concerned about fuel. We know there's another carbon tax coming in April, and people say, well, farmers are exempt. Well, really not. We pay it on everything else, so there's concerns around that. Obviously, we're concerned that some of the parts of the Southwest down in my area, too, where there's, there hasn't been a lot of snow. We did get a good dump here last week, and hopefully we'll see some runoff. That was probably my biggest concern was surface water. And talking to a lot of the ranchers in my area, that's what I heard as well. But for the most part of the province, I think there's good snowpack. We should see some runoff. We'll see some good moisture to at least start the crop and continue that way. Obviously, we're really looking at opportunities where we can see expansion in the ag sector from the value-added side. We'll continue to work on that level as well. But I'm just hopeful that we see a good crop and prices stay strong and farmers and ranchers will do well. We're seeing really, high fall calf prices predicted. I mean, you look at the livestock price insurance program and the prices are higher than what I've ever seen. I'm sure they've been here before, but so hopefully the livestock folks and the cattle industry will see, a better return, and obviously expenses are up as well.
Merritt is aware that rural health care and rural crime are also key issues for SARM delegates.
I totally agree. And I mean, the government is and the Ministry of Health is doing everything they can to alleviate some of the pressures. I know in my constituency, we saw obviously emergency services reduced in some of the hospitals. So it's always challenging around human resources and staffing. But hopefully we can address some of those concerns. We put some programs in place, some incentive programs to try and address that. Rural crime has always been an issue, even back in my day when I was here at SARM. It always was, always will be. So we're challenged with it. And, I'm sure there's going to be some good dialogue with the Minister of Policing and Corrections and Policing and Public Safety on that issue. And I think, you know, we're heading down that way with obviously putting more peace officers out there. And that's something we're trying, you know, very hard to do and consider growing in that side as well. So there's obviously these challenges in rural, there always is. And as a government, we recognize it and try and address it. I think in the Ministry of Agriculture, we've done a lot of good things over the years and really trying to enhance the program, working with the producer groups. I think that's probably one of the key things, is we've always had a pretty good open door policy with the producer groups and organizations like SARM, and listening to them on some of the challenges, but also on some of the solutions. And we did some of that even for the livestock producers this year when we held the pasture rates to 2022 levels. And we've also given them an opportunity that in the event that it is dry and they have to pull some of the cattle off, they will their rates will be reduced to a maximum of 50% if they have to reduce the capacity.
That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt. Coming up, he discusses this week being declared as Agriculture Safety Week in Saskatchewan. But first, it's time for the AgriView portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, AgriView.
Statistics Canada reported that 2022 had the smallest domestic canola crush for a calendar year since 2017. As well, 2022 marked the smallest canola oil production in 5 years and the least amount of canola meal produced in 4 years. The sharp reduction of canola being crushed was due to the 2021 drought on the Canadian prairies, with far less of the oil seed being harvested. StatsCan reported the 2022 crush came to 8.769 million metric tons, down 11% from the previous year. Also, the amount of oil produced was nearly 3.652 million metric tons, falling 13.4% from the year before. The amount of canola meal in 2022 was 5.222 million metric tons, slipping 8.4% from a year ago. While the price of canary seed in Western Canada has come down over the past couple of years, there is optimism that acres devoted to the specialty grain will increase in 2023. David Knobbs, pulse merchant for Purely Canada Foods in Saskatoon and former chair of the Canary Seed Development Commission of Saskatchewan, says after the price for the crop in Western Canada hit 57 cents per pound in the fall of 2021, a large surplus has pressured it since. The high delivered bid as of Friday was 39 cents per pound, 7 cents less than 1 year ago, according to Prairie Ag Hotwire. However, he also mentioned canary seed prices above 35 cents a pound are historically high. Knobs expects them to trend down to between 30 to 40 cents per pound later this year, which could attract buyers from Mexico and the European Union, where half of Canada's crop is exported. Moscow is suggesting to renew a deal allowing the safe export of grain from Ukraine's Black Sea ports, but only for a period of 60 days, half the term of the previous renewal. The Black Sea Grain Initiative, brokered between Russia and Ukraine by the United Nations and Turkey last July, aimed to prevent a global food crisis by allowing Ukrainian grain blockaded by Russia's invasion to be safely exported from three Ukrainian ports. The deal, which was extended for 120 days in November, is up for renewal on Saturday. Russia says that despite a comprehensive and frank conversation, they note that restrictions on its agricultural exporters remained. Russia has argued that although the country's agricultural exports have not been explicitly targeted by the West, sanctions on its payments, logistics, and insurance industries have created a barrier for it being able to export its own grains and fertilizers. Meanwhile, Ukrainian farmers who have already started the 2023 spring sowing have only around 35% of the herbicides and pesticides they need. The full-scale Russian invasion has left Ukraine seriously short of finances, seeds, and crop protection products, which could have a negative impact on crop yields this year. APK Inform says farmers had 9,356 metric tons of herbicides and pesticides, which is 34.7% of the declared 26,926 metric tons needed for the first half of this year. The volume included 6,231 metric tons of herbicides, or about 36% of the volume needed. The ministry says the most difficult situation is in the Kyiv and Lviv regions. And the Canadian Food Inspection Agency has completed its 2022 national survey for potato wort and confirms that potato wort was not detected in the soil samples tested from the fields where the samples were collected. The survey included fields in British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, Quebec, New Brunswick, and Nova Scotia. The National Survey for Potato Wort involved collecting and testing nearly 1,500 soil samples from seed potato fields. One criterion included in field selection was farms that had previously sourced seed potatoes from Prince Edward Island. This survey is an important step in the Government of Canada's efforts to help contain and control the spread of potato wort and reassure domestic and international trading partners. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's cloudy and minus 7 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. The Saskatchewan government has declared this week as Agricultural Safety Week in the province. Agriculture Minister David Merritt says farming means long, busy days like calving and seeding, and he wants farm safety to be a key priority.
It's very important. It's near and dear to my heart as well. When I was with SARM, the Ag Safety Committee and the work that the University of Saskatchewan did under Dr. Dosman was something that I really appreciated. And I don't think there's anybody out there listening to you that hasn't experienced either an injury or even worse of some, either maybe a family member or a very close friend. And we've all experienced that. And we're getting into a busy time of the year again. I mean, even spring calving and obviously spring seeding is, it's a few months away yet, but it's always a busy time. And I always say, and I always know that there's always been one time in our lives when we said, holy cow, am I ever lucky I didn't get hurt doing that. So we just want to make sure that everybody's aware of ag safety and the challenges around it. And, don't be afraid to reach out to somebody if you are having challenges. There's always somebody to talk to. But this is, it's an important thing to me and to everybody out there. I always say it, we all have family that are expecting us home every night, and let's not let them down, and let's make sure we get home at night.
That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt. It's time now for the livestock market conditions, and they're a presentation of Heartland Livestock in Verdon.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April closed at 163.05 today. That's down 50. June live cattle closed at 157.75, down 45. April feeder cattle closed at 195.75, down 132. May feeder cattle closed at 201.30, down 110. April lean hogs closed at 85.40, down 82. May lean hogs closed at 93.70, down 87. And that's the livestock market conditions. Thank you, Tanya. A weekly overview of the wheat market has been provided by Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture. It was issued through the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission yesterday afternoon.
Wheat futures continued their slide through the week, closing at lows that have not been seen since the summer of 2021. In the significant purchases and trades last week, Turkey bought 750,000 tons of March to May delivery wheat in their scheduled tender on Tuesday from Ukraine and Russia. Saudi Arabia is tendering for 480,000 tons of wheat, and the results should be out later today. In some of the most important news that happened in the wheat markets, we had a USDA report last week. The USDA report raised global wheat production by 5 million tons from last month. The increase was led by a 2.4 million ton increase in Kazakhstan production and a surprise 1 million ton increase in India. Production in Kazakhstan has climbed to 16.4 million tons, or 40% more than last year. India's crop is expected to be 104 million tons, which is 5% less than last year. India's government is currently forecasting a 112 million ton crop, which is far too high. The entirety of the 5 million ton increase in global wheat production was offset by 5 million tons of smaller beginning stocks. Smaller beginning stocks came as a result of higher feed demand in China in the 2020-21 crop season. The USDA raised global consumption by 2 million tons, and exports were seen 1 million tons higher, now 6% above last year. Overall, ending stocks were 2.1 million tons lower than last month at 267 million tons, down 2% from last year. And now over to Canada. Canadian wheat exports in January were 1.9 million tons, according to Statistics Canada. This was the second highest monthly volume so far this marketing year. Japan was the largest customer, followed by Peru at 219,000 tons and 215,000 tons respectively. Chinese imports in January were down to 169,000 tons. This was only 40% of the average monthly volume they have been doing so far this year. However, with that said, their total wheat imports as of January are 368% more than this time last year. In the weekly exports, week 31 saw another large 464,000 tons of exports for a season total of 4.7 million tons, up 67% from last year. Producer deliveries were also strong last week, which allowed visible supplies to remain large, above 3 million tons. For durum, we expected January durum exports from Canada were strong, but Stats Canada showed a very impressive 808,000 tons of durum being exported in January 2023. This was a record monthly amount, and especially strong for January, when Canadian durum exports are usually at their seasonal low. The two major importers of Canadian durum in January were Algeria and Tunisia, who bought 277,000 tons and 108,000 tons of durum respectively. Durum exports in week 31 were smaller at 68,000 tons. Producer deliveries were strong, however, at 170,000 tons as exporters build stocks for the spring shipping season. Visible supply rose to 673,000 tons over the week. We are 20% sold new crop durum. There is some strong local demand by exporters who have a new crop program on. In these cases, we would get up to 40% sold. On to the U.S. The USDA left the U.S. wheat balance sheet entirely unchanged. This includes spring wheat and durum as well. U.S. weekly commercial sales were at the low end of trade expectations at 267,000 tons. Total commitments are now 639 million bushels, which is 6.4% less than last year, compared to the USDA's unchanged 3.1% expected decline. Average weekly sales needed to meet the USDA's 775 million bushel estimate are just 3 million bushels per week. And although U.S. exports are usually lower in the fourth quarter, we expect that this should be met. Persistent drought remains over a large swath of the southern plains, but heavy rain brought relief to parts of southeastern Kansas. On to Australia. The USDA increased Australia's wheat crop by 1 million tons to 93 million tons. Exports were raised by 500,000 tons to 48.5 million tons, and the remainder of the increase in supply went into their ending stocks. The Australia Bureau of Agriculture is estimating that next year's wheat crop will be 28 million tons, compared to local traders' thoughts of about 25 million tons. Seeded area and trend yields support a 28 million ton number, or better, but local traders say that they expect the El Niño will cause yields to fall below the trend. In Argentina, the USDA increased their estimate for Argentina's wheat crop by 400,000 tons from last month to 12.9 million tons, while decreasing the country's exports by 1 million tons to 6.5 million tons. With recent decreases in Argentina's corn and soybean crops, the country's grain production may fall by upwards of 50 million tons from last year. And over to the European Union. Matif wheat futures are trading at levels that have not been seen since before the risk of war in Ukraine was even being talked about. The USDA left the EU wheat balance sheet unchanged, which means they are still overestimating the volume of EU exports. In the Black Sea, the USDA left Russia's wheat balance sheet unchanged. A slight decrease in Ukraine's 2022-23 beginning stocks resulted in a respective decrease in its ending stocks. The Black Sea Grain Initiative expires on March 18th. There's been a lot of posturing leading up to the negotiations, but the trade evidently believes that it will be renewed. Russia continues to export wheat at a remarkable pace. Russian wheat exports have reached 33 million tons, and some think they could reach as much as 46 million tons this season. This compares to the USDA's unchanged export number of 43.5 million tons. For the coming week, there was nothing in the USDA report to prompt higher wheat prices. The Russian delegation is meeting with the UN to discuss their side of the grain corridor export deal today. We assume the corridor is going to be left open. If left open, this is neutral to bearish. If not, it is bullish. The exchange in local currencies is high, so demand will remain slow. Keep in mind, European new crop is available in July, and the weather is benign. Old crop carryovers will be at a minimum, putting pressure on any inverse. We are sold out on current crop wheat and will wait on weather developments before selling additional new crop.
That's Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture in Winnipeg. It's time now for the Commodities Update, and that's a presentation of Lane Realty. When it's time to sell the farm, call Lane Realty, your trusted and experienced farmland real estate company. To include your property for showings, call 620-7260 or visit lanerealty.com.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. May canola closed at $757.60, down $10.20. July canola closed at $755.10, down $10.10. May Minneapolis wheat is still trading at $8.48 and a quarter. That's up 15¾ of a cent. May Kansas City wheat closed at $8.17 and three quarters. Up 17 and a quarter cents. May Chicago wheat trading at 696 and a quarter, up 11 and three quarters of a cent. May corn trading at 620 and three quarters, up 7 and a quarter cents. May soybeans trading at 1493 and three quarters, up 2.5 cents. May oats trading at 349 per bushel, up 1 cent. And that's the Commodities Update. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. The Vice President of the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan attended the Canadian Federation of Agriculture Convention in Ottawa last week. Bill Probilski of Willowbrook, just west of Yorkton, says it was very interesting.
You know, discussions on a wide range of topics from government policy to, you know, the environmental regulations that are coming down, the fertilizer emission reduction target, a lot of political discussion in terms of domestic landscape with regards to the federal government, and as well as some talk on international politics and how that's affecting our agriculture sector. So, yeah, wide range of topics discussed.
He notes that all five federal political party leaders attended the meeting.
You know, even our current prime minister spoke at the meeting, which was, I guess, very rare to have the Prime Minister just show up like that to give his thoughts. And it was interesting as well to see the differences in the different party leaders as to their approach to agriculture and agriculture policy. So it was a very good event in that regards as well.
Probilski says it's great news that former APAS President Todd Lewis is now the first vice president of the CFA.
It's very good to see. He was appointed as an interim second vice president last year, but now he has been elected my acclimation as the first vice president. So certainly that gives us in Saskatchewan here a direct conduit to a federal voice, which is, you know, awesome in terms of getting our voice heard at the federal level.
When it comes to international politics, he says the situation in Ukraine was front and center.
Yeah, obviously that affects agriculture in a big way, and some of the thoughts as to, you know, how has it affected agriculture, how will it affect us going forward, and you know, obviously it's affected the price of grain and the movement and the demand for our products here, and heightened the awareness that the world needs what we grow here in Saskatchewan, and we need to be doing what we can to supply the world. So yeah, obviously that's a big topic on everybody's mind, not only in the agricultural field, but all kinds of different industries, and you know, just the scope of the war itself is affects everybody.
Przybylski believes the CFA has been effective in bringing about positive change in federal agriculture policies.
Talking with the federal government, we never get everything that we ask for, but it's nice to know that when the federal government is talking agriculture, they're consulting with the Canadian Federation of Agriculture in particular about policy and you know, the laws that they're passing and how they're going to affect agriculture. So it's good to know that we're recognized as a vital part of the Canadian economy, and that there is a voice in Ottawa that has our best interest in mind when it comes to negotiations with the federal government.
He notes APAS has just announced plans for a special summit next month.
Well, we've actually just released this morning the details of a livestock summit that we will be hosting on April 5th in Saskatoon at the Saskatoon Inn. You know, recognizing that there are some issues in the livestock industry that has adversely affected the industry as a whole. We know that livestock numbers have been steadily decreasing. I think I saw some place where we've lost 90,000 head in the last 2 years. So obviously there's some issues going forward. And so we've put together a livestock summit to try and identify some of those issues and some possible solutions to that. So if anybody is interested, and we would certainly encourage anybody that's involved in the livestock industry to take a look at attending our summit in April 5th in Saskatoon. Registration is now open on our website.
And Przybylski says APAS continues to work on a number of matters on behalf of farmers in Saskatchewan.
There's certainly no shortage of issues that APAS is dealing with, from some bills coming down, you know, in the House currently being spoken at with regards to carbon tax exemptions and rail transportation, and you know, just a whole gamut of issues, and we're certainly trying to stay on top of it. So we appreciate the support of our members, and we look forward to representing Saskatchewan farmers going forward.
Bill Przybylski farms near Willowbrook, just west of Yorkton. He's vice president of APAS. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Partly sunny, wind south-southeast at 15 to 30, gusting over 50 at times, and a high of 0. For tonight, partly to mainly cloudy, winds west at 15 to 25, a low of minus 13. For tomorrow, mainly cloudy, winds northwest at 15 to 25, a high of minus 5, a low of minus 17. For Thursday, mainly cloudy with a 50% chance of evening flurries, winds north-northwest at 15 to 25, and a high of minus 8. For Friday, partly sunny at times, a high of minus 9, and Saturday sunny, a high of minus 5. In the Paw, it's minus 6 degrees. Swan River and Brandon, minus 5. Dauphin, minus 3. Shoal Lake, Russell and Roblin, minus 7. Regina is at minus 1. Saskatoon, minus 6. Hudson Bay, minus 3. Broadview, Mooseman, minus 2. Indian Head, minus 4. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, plus 1. The Yorkton-Melville region has a cloudy sky, a south-southeast wind at 28, gusting to 41 kilometers an hour. 76% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 7 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 15 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX Yorkton, a Harvard Media radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.
You've been listening to the GX on Agriculture podcast.